of translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Foundacharya Viscontu Srila Prabhupada. Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she is now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were beaten by a sutra, and there were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Purport. The symptom of the next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. The great rishis and munis would only live on milk. Srila Sukadeva Goswami would go to a householder while he was milking a cow, and he would simply take a little quantity for sustenance. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive a sadhu of a quart or two of milk, and every householder would give milk like water. For the Sanatanist, a follower of Vedic principles, it is the duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. So the Sanatanist worships cows on religious principles and respects brahmanas. The cow's milk is required for the sacrificial fire. By forming sacrifices, the householder can be happy. The cow's calf not only is beautiful to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow. And so she delivers so much milk as possible. But in Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for purposes which may not be mentioned on these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The cow stands with tears in her eyes. The sudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially. And when there is no milk, the cow is sent to be slaughtered. These greatly sinful acts are responsible for the troubles of the present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. The influence of Kali will keep them in the darkness of ignorance. Despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cows and bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy. But it is a fact by the law of nature. Let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principles for the total happiness of humanity. Yes. So, it's quite a long purport. So I'm just basically going to speak on what, as they say, jumped out on me, which is milking the cow means deriving the principles of religion in a liquid form. Yes. So, religion. Now, the purpose, it says in here, the purpose of religion in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2. This, I found this on the Veda base. The purpose of religion is if religion is the code of God given, no, is the code given by God, then we know. So Dharma, religion, actually means to understand that, to understand the origin, absolute, the absolute truth. And also, in the synonyms and the verse of the same. So real Dharma, real religion, is to understand the origin, which is the absolute truth. But nowadays, we see also, it says in the beginning of that same chapter, the same voice, same verse, it says, Dharma Parayuchita Ketava, Ketavaha. The word Ketava means cheating. This is from the Shambhagmatam 1-2-6. What is this cheating religion? Artha, Dharma, Karma, and Moksha. This is cheating religion. These are the four, what we call the four Parashartas. So the Supreme One is the fifth one. Why is Artha, Dharma, Karma, and Moksha cheating? Because it will not give us the fifth Parashartha, which is love of God or Prema Bhakti. It will not give us at all. It's impossible. Because it says in the beginning of that chapter, it is materialistic. So the purpose of this life is to get Krishna. And to get Krishna in this life, and so therefore, to get Krishna, we have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So this sentence, milking the cow, means drawing the principles of religion, which is the absolute. The principle of religion is absolute truth in a liquid form. So it says in the Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, introduction, this is. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking the cow. Arjuna is just like a calf. What's the word? I can't read it now. The learned scholars and the pure devotees are to drink the nectarine milk of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is what actually milking the cow means, drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. Because I don't know if you've seen a calf being born. When I was in India in the Goshala, it was at Gadagiri. I saw a calf being born. And the first milk from the mother cow is always given to the calf. Because that milk is thicker and special milk. It's got some special, I don't know what technically what it is, but something is in it. Because if that with that special milk, the calf, that it gives the calf some strength and to grow, and to stand and like this, and then when that calf has that special milk, then after that, the person milking the cow, they can take that milk afterwards, but they cannot take that special milk which is meant for the calves. So it says, so we can see from that Bhagavad Gita introduction that Krishna, Lord Krishna, is famous as milking the cow. And then he is given Arjuna, who is just like a calf, and the learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarine milk. So it says here in this purport, in a liquid form. So the liquid form, as we know, we drink through the mouth. We drink liquid through the mouth. So from the mouth, so the Bhagavad Gita, so this liquid form that Krishna is speaking is what he is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. That's the liquid nectarine form of milk in the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever is spoken by Krishna is nectarine. And so therefore, we are, as devotees, said Arjuna is our example, so we are just like a calf, and we are getting this milk of this nectar from Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And so therefore, so in the Bhagavad Gita, there's so many principles. The principles of many religious principles, but the highest principle of all is the last supreme instruction: Sarva Dharma Bhidraja Mam Mikam Savam Braja Hammatam Dara Prebyo Mokshami Manusacha. Just surrender him, it's unto me. And so this is the purpose to get Krishna. So we have to surrender. We have to surrender because we can to a bona fide spiritual master. And therefore, surrender begins actually when we surrender to the spiritual master, just as in the chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna voluntarily surrenders to Krishna. Please, now I am in trouble. Please help me. I am your devotee. Forget the verse now. But he surrenders to Krishna voluntarily. So, because we cannot surrender directly to Krishna, we have to surrender to the spirit, the pure spiritual master. And there, the spiritual master, he knows many tattvas. He knows the absolute truth. So there are so many tattvas or considerations. First of all, we have to understand there's two types of tattva. There's a paratattva, or which means apparent truth or apparent consideration. Then there's tattva vichar, which means the absolute consideration. And there's so many tattvas that it's like Krishna is the jewel, and from that jewel, Krishna has different facets, and there is guru tattva, Sambandha Tattva, Abhideya Tattva, Projana Tattva, Shiva Tattva, so on like this, so many tattvas. But the most fundamental tattva is Bhagavan Thakur, he mentions these three fundamental tattvas, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Projan. These are the three fundamental tattvas. He says, if no one understands these three fundamental tattvas, it will be impossible or difficult to understand the actual philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, Sambandha, he means relationship. Relationship between, so there's three types of relationship. The relationship between the jiva and Krishna. The jiva and maya, or the external energy. And the relationship between Krishna and the external and maya. Of course, no, so therefore, of course, Krishna, the last one doesn't apply to Krishna because maya is subordinate to Krishna. And the first one is that the relationship is that we are eternal servants of Krishna in the five primary rasas, in the five primary rasas, we have this eternal relationship as a servant. And the second one is that as Krishna is controlling maya, we are controlled by maya. Due to misusing our minute independence, because Krishna, he's fully independent, and because Krishna is svavamsa, and the spirit soul is vivamsa. Vivamsa jiva, vi means separate. We are separate. We are separate entity. We are eternal servants of Krishna, but we're separate from Krishna. And because we're separated from Krishna, we have this minute independence. And if we misuse it, then we come to this material world. But if we use it, but if we use this minute independence, we can start to perform devotional service. So this minute independence is actually, where is it now? Don't see, I've lost it. Excuse me a minute. Yes. There is one song by Bhagavan Thakur. It's from Suno Hi Rasika Jana, Bhajita Bhagavan Thakur. So in the fourth verse, I can't pronounce the Bengali it's written in, so I'll read the translation of the verse. By bestowing the jewel of independence to those following the path of regulative principles, he allows them the path of spontaneous loving attachment. By being controlled by such attachment and taking shelter of parakeet above, param, love of God, the living entity attains ecstatic pure love for Krishna. So this is where devotional service actually starts, because devotional service starts when we actually get attachment of Krishna and for Krishna's pleasure, not for our pleasure. It's sometimes I'm speaking to myself, more to myself here, that we think if we're doing it sometimes very subtly, even grossly, we're doing service for our own pleasure, but not for Krishna's pleasure. Because real enjoyment is actually serving Krishna. This is because the best examples of this are the gopis of Vrindavan, because they gave up everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And actually, the gopis are examples for all the devotees to follow. Of course, we can't follow them directly, but if we take shelter of take shelter of their lotus feet through the previous acharyas, who are different manjaris and gopis in Gaura Leela. And so therefore we start devotional service when we surrender to the pure devotee, and who is actually spiritual master. As I said in the previous class, he's a manifestation. He has two sides. One, he's a manifestation at mercy of Lord Nityananda. And the other side, he's actually one of the manjaris in the spiritual world, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're all manjaris in the spiritual world, and they came down here, this material world, to give mercy to the conditioned souls. So therefore, by taking shelter of the previous acharyas and the spiritual master, we can start the process of devotional service. Because the next one is Abhideya. Abhideya means bhakti. But also I read in Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandhava, Bhakti Sandhava, that Abhideya also means once we've established our relationship with Krishna, it also means that we get a service that's related to that relationship, and then once that service to that relationship is established, and then we can progress to the prime necessity of human life, human form, which is to attain love of God or prema bhakti. because this is the prime necessity of human life. And to prema bhakti, it has to be developed. And it's and therefore we must take shelter of a devotee who has prema bhakti, a uttama devotee. Take shelter of him or them, because it doesn't have to be the diksha guru. It can be also it can also be the shiksha guru as well. And that person, that guru, will give us instructions on how to develop prema bhakti. Without prema bhakti, we cannot surrender to Krishna. Generally, us, and again, I'm speaking to myself, it says, Bhagavad Gita, complete surrender. If there's no complete surrender, then it's conditional, artificial, and conditional. It's either one of those three. If it's partial, that means if we're 50% surrendered, we only get 50% Krishna. If I was meant to ask have you got £5 to give me? No, and he's only got £4.50. So how can he give me £5? He can't. But if you go to a person who's got the £5, so therefore we have to surrender to that person who, and conditionally means that, oh Krishna, please give me Krishna. Jai. And conditionally means that, oh Krishna, please give me this, give me that. If you give me this facility, I'll serve you. And if it's artificial, that means we're just speaking from the lips, nothing else. It's not just words. Empty, it's blank fire, as they say. So therefore, we have to be completely surrendered. And again, I said I'm speaking to myself more than all of you here, and those who are listening. So we have to be completely surrendered to the spiritual master, and therefore, if we surrender him fully, then he will fully bestow upon us his mercy, because the mercy is very important. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of Krishna, one cannot get spiritual master. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot get Krishna. So the goal of this human life is to get Krishna in this lifetime. And then we can, at the end of this life, we can attain the position in the spiritual world as a servant of Krishna. So I've been asked to reflect some reflections on book distribution. So thinking last night, so the first thing that came to me was that all of us, this month of December, we know is Prabhupada's marathon. The books are going out. all over this planet. But how many of us know, really, really, really know Prabhupada's books? Really understand? We can read, but do we understand Prabhupada's books? Prabhupada said we should read these books just like scrutinily, like a lawyer or solicitor. But do we actually know what's in the books? It's nice to give the books out. So for one time I was doing book distribution in, I think it was Luton. I think it was Luton. And I was giving books, and then one guy, he said, "All right, you give me the. All right, I'll take the book. But please tell me what's in the book." I didn't know, and he didn't take a book. Didn't take it because he said I would have taken the book if you told me what's in the book. Said what? No, sorry. Let's get it right. Sorry, but I gave him the book. And he opened the page. He said, "What does it?" He read a few sentences. "What does this mean?" I didn't know. So, like this one devotee, he was initiated by Harikesh Maharaj. And we all know Harikesh Maharaj was very hot on book distribution. So there's one devotee called Hari Namananda. It was based in Zurich Temple. And he would do books, distribution, but he would only do 4 hours a day. In the morning, he would study for 4 hours Srila Prabhupada's books, and then go out for 4 hours. In those 4 hours, he would double the books than the devotees who went out for 8 hours. Because, as he said to me, when he said, many times people, they stop me and they, what does this mean? They look at the book and they say, what does this mean? I have to tell them, this is why I'm studying Prabhupada's books. So we have to give the books out, but also I have to know and we have to know what's in the books. So... again, I'm speaking to more myself than anything else. And so therefore, this is my realization that we have to know what's in the books and really understand what's in the books. So I'll stop there. And any questions or... Srinivas, I can see you've got something there in the book you want to read.
So when we make sure... You spoke about independence, right?
Yeah.
How would you define, what's your understanding of independence? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives a whole understanding behind it.
Is that Jiva Dharma?
This is his question answers.
The question is my understanding. Okay. I don't understand. I just accept what the Acharyas say.
Okay, I'll read it then. It says, what is actual independence? He gives an answer to that. He says, to try to become God is non-devotional. Desire to become independent in this world means to become servant of others. Material independence is simply covered form of dependence. Complete independence is obtained by becoming dependent on the Lord, yeah. Who's full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. And desiring only to serve Him. As long as the living entity holds the rope of the Lord's mercy, they are known as His servants. Those who think themselves self-dependent or independent should know that they are actually dependent on others. Only those who depend on the Supreme Lord are truly independent. When we attain actual independence, then the conception that we are eternally dependent on Sri Hari becomes prominent. Any object that is complete whole is transcendental. Service to or dependence on the absolute truth, Sri Hari, is actually joyful independence. Otherwise, a show of independence while identifying ourselves as the doer or master or beings only doer or master brings only distress. It is nothing but a subordination under Maya.
Yes, that was true. But also, in that song, I quoted from Bhagavan Thakur, he says a different thing. It seems now, sometimes, the acharyas say things that are contradictory. Sometimes. But we have to, bring them together. You know, to... So they sometimes the acharyas say contradictory things, like one acharya says this, one acharya says that. So we have to, bring them together and to bring understanding. So what you're saying is true, but for Thakur, are you saying in that context what you're saying is absolutely correct. But also, in that verse I quoted from that bhajan, independence, if it's used properly, can take us from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti. If it's used properly. We've got a choice. We can Vaidhi Bhakti is, say for instance, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur and our Srila Prabhupada, they give the example. You got a jar of honey. So you got this wonderful sweet honey. It says sweet honey on the jar. Are you going to taste the honey? By licking the jar? You're not, are you? To taste the honey, you have to open the jar. So Vaidhi Bhakti, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, Vaidhi Bhakti is like licking the jar of honey. Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous, is opening the jar and tasting it. So,
Well, actually, in Jeva Dharma, is explained that in Vaidhi Bhakti there is rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Where in Raganuga Bhakti, you just have to beg for forgiveness against offenses to the holy name. But the process is much easier in a sense that there's not that many rules, that you just chant the holy name continually, and the spontaneous attachment to Krishna will come very fast.
And what is the main adhikar? What's the main qualification for Raganuga Bhakti? Greed. Greed is the lobha, is the qualification. Just like the greed to taste that honey in that jar. Greed is the qualification. But at the same time, we should not jump over Vaidhi Bhakti. No. We externally, we follow Vaidhi Bhakti. You find those devotees who are on Raganuga Bhakti level platform, they still follow the rules and regulations externally. They never jump over Vaidhi Bhakti, never. You cannot jump over it. Externally they're following very strictly, but internally, because they know their who they are in the spiritual world. They know their service, and they know who what under group leader they're under, or what sakhi they're under. They know internally. Internally, they're meditating and doing service all the time, but externally, they're following the devotional service. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Thank you so much for your talk and very, very nice class you've given. And just in regards to the, what you've just spoken on right now, Vaidhi and Raganuga Bhakti, I had a question. Is it possible for there to be Raganuga in Vaidhi?
Yes.
In the same, and like for example...
Yeah, it is, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Because eventually, if we follow the role, the relative principle of service, with greed, with, you know, with greed is there, then spontaneously we'll, it's there.
I was just thinking of an example, probably a less example, like with the pujaris who do the dressing. So, you know, you have the strict things that you need to do, but then as you're actually doing the dressing, then you add your own, whatever you're feeling internally, which works, you know, you get this kind of flowers and these, and
you have freedom
to do that. But you're still obviously doing the basic regular.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Because when I used to dress Radha Gokul Granda, so I didn't, sometimes I didn't have the idea what to put a turban on, now which turban. But then, as soon as I did it, it just come. So but I still have to follow the 16 achars and so on and the mantras and things like this. Yes, but it's what you say. Yes. Oh, senior.
Something else. This dependence and independence, very interesting. And because Prabhupada said we should act in such a way that we're using all the ability we've got. We're depending on our ability that he's given us, Krishna's given us. But at the same time, our independence, that we're not taking shelter of the results. You know, so we got to do to our best. We don't. Oh, sorry. So, you know, we can't just leave it all up to Krishna.
No.
Yeah, we act in such a way where we're using everything we've got as best we can, and then depend on Krishna for whatever comes.
Yeah.
That's our...
Yeah, it's what you're saying. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the temple commander, he may say, oh, back to so-and-so, sweep the floor. But you have to actually pick up the broom and start sweeping the floor. Don't we? But we can't depend on Krishna to sweep the floor. We have to go to that cupboard and start sweeping. But at the same time, we're not dependent on the result. Anybody else? Gantarajim Bhagmatam Ki Jai.